hate it and flip it, I did it off the nine. Stay in the kitchen, I'm never off of mine. And now I'm Kemp in his prime. Did it and flip it, we did it off the nine. Stay in the kitchen, I'm never off of mine. And now I'm Kemp in his prime.
Ladies and gentlemen, man, we are back. We are finally here, the NBA season. We are 2 weeks in. It is 2021, man. This is episode 115 of Ball Don't Lie, man. As usual, I'm your host, Scott. You can follow me on Twitter and Instagram at Barbershare Scott. I got my nigga Dante in the building, man, straight from Atlanta, Georgia right now. You can follow him on Twitter at October's Own Tay, man. We're here, man, 2 weeks into the season. Of course, are you rolling up for us there? Do we have the...
Oh, of course, of course. Okay. That's definitely coming, G. I was just, you know, letting you do your thing with the intro, but no, you know what I'm saying? Feel good to be back, G. A lot of basketball has been happening. Not a lot of it's been good basketball. But I mean,
basketball.
You know, it's been worth watching. You know, glad to have it back. You know, interesting times still. You know, we seen these white folks wilding at the Capitol yesterday. So that's been, you know, on everybody's mind. I'll come back to that with my goofy monologue of the week. But it's been real interesting though, bro. So, you know, I'm good. I'm glad to be back.
Yeah, I'm glad to be back, man. I'm glad. I'm just getting back into the swing of things as far as work in general with, because I just, since the holidays, I kind of like, you know, mentally checked out. Even though I was, you know, it was my first holidays dolo. I literally didn't do shit here. I want to give a shout out to my nigga Damien for looking out for the kid, for bringing me food.
I want to give a shout out to say that shit. Yeah.
I want to give a shout out to this girl too. She's a great cook. She held it down. So I had food on Thanksgiving and Christmas. So I want to give a shout out to both of y'all, man. But
it's one thing about me though, G. I've been in the A since 07. So like holidays alone, that ain't shit new to me, G. I've been doing that shit for
a decade,
bro. G, like real shit.
I always go back. I have to go back. Remember my mama kicked my ass if I don't come back. Number one. Like if my mama calls me and I don't even answer the phone the first time, she gonna send out a missing persons report. Like,
oh my God, I hate that shit.
Like, what were you doing? I was on a damn toilet. Like,
they'll text you, hello.
Yeah, right.
I'm like, mom, can I get back to the phone, G? Like,
yeah. Or I answer. She's like, I do have a firstborn son. So it's just like, okay. So, yeah, man. So I'll just get back to the swing of things, man. If everybody wants to know, I want to give a shout out to everybody who has been supporting the Barbershare Network Patreon. During the holidays, we got a couple more subscribers, man. So we're getting that number up. We want to keep getting that number up, man. I want to get to at least $500 in subscriptions by the end of 2021, man. So I want to keep that up. And if you haven't subscribed, you subscribe right now at patreon.com/barbershairnetwork. And we're gonna be back summer sessions. We took a 2 week break. The world kind of went to hell in those 2 weeks. So I'm pretty sure we're gonna have a lot of fucking shit to talk about this week with me, Flo's, Damien, and Pav. So look out for that.
That should be funny as hell, G. That should get you a lot of shifts at work, bro. Shout out to y'all.
I appreciate that. Everybody, people be hitting me up, man, about the shit. Like, and the thing about summer sessions, like, when we get done recording, I don't remember what the fuck I said, because 9 times out of 10, I was drunk. Hopefully when this vaccine drops, we can get back to recording that shit in person again. And that should be, you know, even more alive. But let's get into it, man. NBA season. I think we're about 2 weeks into it right now. As we're recording this, this is Thursday, January 7th. Of course, the big, you know, it's TNT Thursday today. The two of the matchups are it's the Nets and the Sixers. But I don't know who the fuck is going to be watching that game, because Kevin Durant is out with Rona protocol and Kyrie Irving is out last minute because of a personal matter. Steve Nash said in the pregame that he texted him like an hour before the game. I mean, like a half hour ago, and he didn't see anything back from Kyrie. So we never know what the fuck is going on when it comes to Kyrie. And I think that's one of the things that the Nets have to sign up for, because you got somebody. I don't want to call Kyrie a weirdo. He's a real emotional ass dude.
I said that nigga ran out of sage. He had to go make a run real quick.
He had to make a run. But so let's get to it. What would you think about the first 2 weeks of the season? Like, has anything stood out to you?
Few surprises. I mean, one thing that's really not surprised me is the amount of bad basketball. I think the turnaround for some teams, the turnaround was too short, and for others, the long layoff, you know, say it really affected them. But I think you've it's also, you know, it worked in the inverse. You've seen some teams hit the same stride they had from the bubble, and you've also seen some teams who were off who have played a lot better. But for me, I feel like it's been a mixed bag, mostly more bad than good. But I think it will get better as the season goes on. I think a lot of people, I've been telling a lot of people, I'm going to take these first, you know, 20 games and really treat that damn near like a training camp slash preseason. Yeah. Because, I mean, nobody got to really do anything. You had a draft, you had free agency, then you had training camp, all within a three-week span. So, I mean, I expected the bad basketball from jump. So that's been exactly how I expected. But, I mean, there's been a few things that surprised me.
I'll say for me, the thing that stood out more than anything, I feel like it's the bad presentation. And this is not any disrespect to the teams or the arena people putting this shit together. I think they're doing the best they possibly can as far as, you know, having, like, screens in the background and, you know, covering up all the empty seats with tarp. And, you know, I think the Celtics did the most creative shit by bringing a couple of their championship banners down to the ground level, in which the Warriors copied. The Warriors are doing the same shit. Boys, we got banners too, nigga. Bring them bitches down too. We got banners too.
Honestly, G, if I was the Celtics, I would have brought all them motherfuckers down. I would have surrounded the court. They got with enough.
They got enough of them shits.
Because, I mean, like you said, one of the major things with the presentation, because, like, basketball is one of the sports where you really feel the fans.
You feel it, right.
You feel that, like, you can feel the momentum swing. You know, it's on the road, you know what I'm saying? You beat the team ass and you got the crowd. You could hear a pin dropping there.
Yeah.
Or a team is down at home and they coming back and the crowd start roaring. I know the Bulls have been trash lately. One of my favorite things about the United Center is it when they down and they coming back, it get loud as hell in there. Like, that's what I loved about the playoff days, you know, the Madhouse on Madison, just how loud it gets. And so, you like, the presentation has really been lacking, and you really miss that energy you get from the fans. And I really thought that they were going to take what they did from the bubble and do that in every stadium. I saw the Warriors put
as far as like the digital fans.
The digital
I think
fans
some teams are starting some to do it. The Warriors did that. The Nets did it. You know, a lot of teams lazy.
How you feel about the it's six teams allowing fans? How you feel about that? Of course, the Florida teams and the Texas teams.
I mean, it's Bama ass states. I can't.
Here you
y'all,
go.
Y'all know how I feel about the South. I know how I feel about the South, man. Like, you know, I love, you know, look, don't get me wrong. I got love for Atlanta, man. Atlanta's one of my few cities in the South that if I had a gun in my head and somebody tell me you got to live in one city in the South, it would be Atlanta.
Atlanta is like Chicago. Atlanta is like Chicago in the sense that once you get outside of Atlanta, you don't want to.
It's Bama. It's Bama is hell.
You don't want to be there. It's a lot of Confederate flags and MAGA hats and shit you just don't want to be around.
I used to go to Atlanta damn near every month, like in college, like the last 2 years of college. So yeah, but I'm not shocked with any of the Southern states. I think it's stupid, but it's gonna happen. Like, I was watching the Raptors game. I think they're playing the Celtics. And one thing I do hate too about this new format, I get it, it's for Rona purposes. So I understand. Back-to-back. I don't like the baseball back-to-back type format with the same fucking team. It be tripping me out. Like, I turned on ESPN this morning. I see on the cover on the, you know, on the little at the bottom of the screen, Clippers Warriors Friday night 7 p.m. Like, didn't these niggas just play yesterday? I don't want to see that. Give me some new matchup. But I get it. You have to, you know, face in close proximity. So, you know, you're not traveling too much. I get that. But I just don't like the presentation. I don't like the presentation of COVID sports in general. So this is just not an NBA thing. I feel like sports since the pandemic has hit, they've been entertaining at times. They've been something more than anything. It's just been something for you to watch. It hasn't been. It's definitely has not been appointment TV. I have missed a lot of NBA games. If they weren't, honestly, I only watched White Sox games during the baseball season. I would watch the Dodgers every now and then because I'm in the Dodgers market. But I mainly just watched the White Sox and paid attention to the league, like watch the highlights so I know what's going on. But the presentation, this is the most NFL games in my life I've missed. Like, I swear to God. There's been games I'm just like, nigga, I could be doing something more productive, like watching Curb Your Enthusiasm right now. Or, HBO Max got a million fucking movies. Let me watch something on there.
Speaking of HBO Max, shout out to fucking Snowpiercer. That shit.
I have not heard that.
That shit is hard.
Okay.
It's
a good HBO show. Yeah. Check out Industry.
And that's all. Yeah.
If I could get my brother to watch that, we cover that on Cinema with the Guys. He doesn't like business shows.
Yeah. Now I'm gonna say, if y'all do that, let me get on the episode because I fuck with that
show. I'm trying to force him to do this. So
because low key that gave me a little fix. You know, I've been waiting on Power and Succession to come back. So
I'm starting my Succession rewatch today. Yeah, Power, so I've enjoyed the shit out of it. Shout out my man,
Big Ghost,
Big Reek out here flexing on niggas. But yeah, man, it's just been kind of like, it has been appointment television. Like, I can watch HBO Max. I can watch other shit. Like, even the game that the Cardinals played, the Niners, which the Bears needed the Niners to win so they could have their own destiny, which eventually led us into the playoffs. I didn't watch shit to the fourth quarter. Like, nigga, I'm not finna watch Kyler Murray go one-on-one with CJ Beathard, nigga. Like, yeah. Let me watch something else.
I picked a terrible year to invest in a Sunday ticket. I will say that.
I want another shot, my nigga Damian again. Direct TV, what's up? That's all I'm gonna say. Direct TV, what's up?
Yeah.
Speaking of subscriptions, I had to crack and actually buy League Pass this year. So, end of an era, because we've been on Pavi's League Pass since the 2014-2015 NBA season. Literally. And what I mean by we, I mean everybody, nigga. I'm talking about me,
the whole hood.
Pav, Thomas, my brother. Homies that we don't even talk to. No, I'm pretty sure got that nigga password.
That's how it's supposed to be, though.
Exactly. But like, I was trying to watch it, and then like it'll kick you out the stream, like, oh, if you reach your limit. I'm like, what the fuck? They changed rules. So I had to look it up. There's you can only have two people watching on different devices at the same time now.
Yeah, a lot of streaming services caught on, and now that they limited it, because I know Sunday Ticket. Low key, it's only one user at a time. Yeah, it's only one person at a time, G, which is wild to see it.
So I was just like, okay. So I had to crack, and I was just like, $40 a month ain't too bad. So I went and canceled a couple, shits I'm not using anymore. But long story short, it's just not appointment television to me. And it's just like, the NBA to me is kind of like, okay, if I don't have nothing else to watch tonight, not NBA, but sports in general. If I don't have nothing else to watch tonight, I watch it, but. But when you were talking about as far as how crowds, if you want to put like how crowds affect sports, I'll have to say NBA is number one. And I feel like you peep it more because, when you're watching football, unless they pan out, you don't ever see the crowd.
Yeah.
You don't ever
hear them, but you're not really. You don't see them.
With baseball, you only see the people behind home plate, or if it's a home run, you see the crowd. So it's not as consistent. But one thing that was lacking in baseball was the playoffs. Baseball playoff crowds are some of the rowdiest shits you ever seen in your life. I'm really just trying to figure out how the NFL playoffs is going to be with no crowd. And by the way, cheap plug, 2-minute drill, Super Wild Card Weekend preview is out right now on the Barbershop Network. My brother ducked the show for like 3 weeks, and he had to come to the stand and address that Devontae Adams take he said at the beginning of the year about he wasn't top five. And I was so happy to be right, especially about the players of the Green Bay Packers, but whatever. But with the NBA, it's been lacking to me. But the play has been bad, which is something that stuck out to me. It's been a lot of blowouts. That was the worst Christmas schedule. Not even the schedule. Schedule didn't look good. On paper, it looked like
it'd be a decent amount of games. The games.
The games were terrible. We had one good half. Yeah, we had one good half. Celtics-Nets was a good half. And then the Nets offense just took the fuck off. So that's one observation for me. But I think the two main things I found out, play-wise, one would be that the Los Angeles Lakers, pound for pound, are the best team in basketball. Without a doubt, I think LeBron is in a pocket where he's been he's never had a staff. I won't say he hasn't had as a talented, because I still think on paper, I still think the Heat was the most talented thing he's been with. I think a lot of people still disrespect Dwayne Wade. I like Anthony Davis. I think Anthony Davis is great, but I think we forget how great D Wade was and how great Chris Bosh was. But he's comfortable with this team. He finally has a general manager he can trust. He has a franchise that he can trust. I think LeBron's been looking for that for his whole fucking career. And they just fit. They lost to the Clippers on the first night, but let's be real. I'm pretty sure they was back in the locker room taking shots to Casamigos before the game, because it's ring night. And so that's one thing I will give the NBA credit on. Ring night, I think, was done pretty well for what the circumstances were. I think ring night was pretty decent, having the family members of the players yell out their names,
that's fire.
Introduce them before they got the rings. It was weird because there was no, if I was a Laker fan, I'd probably be tight, because you don't get to experience this.
Yeah.
You know what I'm saying? It hasn't been a parade for them or the Dodgers. They're even holding, they're not going to reveal the 2020 banner until fans come to Staples Center. Yeah. So whenever the fuck that is.
But you know, Adam Silver said they're going to, he said they're going to come back and do the ring ceremony again when they got fans. Now
they're going to do it again?
Yeah, he said that during the ring ceremony. He said they're going to do it again. He said they'll do it again when they get fans.
Okay, I guess. I don't know when the fuck
if
that's
going to be. If that ends up being next season, it's going to be hard to do because, like, nigga, you can't have two ring ceremonies. But I think I appreciate
they say ring or they just say banner ceremony?
No, he said ring ceremony. Okay. He said we'll come back and do it again because, you know, but like I like when they did it because they did it a few times in the bubble when the kids introduced the players. I think that's really dope. And to your LeBron point, one thing that was another one of my surprises, the fact that bro has really been up there in minutes. Like I thought he was gonna take it easy, but he's really been playing a lot of minutes. I know that first couple games, you know, what's their head coach name? Frank Vogel.
Frank Vogel. Don't Frank Vogel look like the white nigga who always date black women? You know Frank Vogel stopped dating white women like freshman year of college. He got a little bit of brown sugar when he went to college, and that nigga ain't looked back.
Now he only date young black women.
Yeah, he got the white wife, air quotes. We know what's really going down, Frank. Well, yeah, that's taking your point.
But no, yeah, and so like LeBron's minutes have really surprised me that he's been playing that much. But I agree, the Lakers, you know, we talked about all their free agency acquisitions, and they really look like the best team in the NBA.
Yeah, for sure. I still think defensively, Marc Gasol and them are going to not be as good as they need to be. But when you have Anthony Davis and LeBron James, it doesn't really fucking matter. Yeah,
but also at the same time, Marc Gasol is giving you some stat lines that Dwight Howard wasn't going to give you.
I mean, offensively, he's going to give you way more. Yeah. I just feel like a lot of the identity for the Lakers, especially in the bubble, was defense.
Yeah.
And I think that's something that JaVale and Dwight brought to the table.
I agree. But I don't really mean when I just say offense, I don't really just mean buckets. I mean like his passing, his basketball IQ, his screen setting abilities. Like, because a lot of things, like when we talk about those Golden State teams, one thing people always don't ever really give credit to was the screen setters they had, like Andrew Bogut, Draymond, who was one of the highest IQ dudes in the game. You know, a lot of that shit people don't take into account. So I agree. They definitely slipped defensively with those additions. But I think what Mark adds on that side of the ball will help make up for it. Same with Trez, you know, he be getting cooked out there. But
that's something I want to touch on because Laker fans are hilarious. Yeah. And it's not just Laker fans, fan bases in general do this, where you slander a player and act like he wasn't worth to the team who's a rival of yours, but the minute that nigga comes to your team, you start making up different narratives in your head. I said, Ibaka is better than fucking Trez. Trez is a good guy who gets you points off the bench. The nigga can't play defense. Like, it wasn't Trez's fault the way they lost in the playoffs. Did y'all see this nigga play? He was getting fucked up. Yeah. He was getting fucked up.
It's a small sample size right now, but the Lakers are third in defensive rating in the league right now.
And you can pick and roll his ass to hell. So,
in the games that they lost, you saw a lot of teams
going at Trez.
Put his ass in the torture rack.
The Clippers was going at Trez.
Like, all right, pick and roll this nigga every time. Like, every time. Whoever Trez man is, come set the pick.
Exactly. So that's the only thing but overall, they're going to be fine, man. The Lakers are going to be great, and I hate LeBron, and I'm hoping whoever takes them down. But they're great. I have nothing to say about them. The Nets, that offense looks deadly. When it's hitting on all cylinders, it looks deadly. I think the loss of Spencer Dinwiddie is going to hurt. They need to go get them a guard. I want Poole on a contender. Somebody save my nigga from Detroit. Please.
Please.
Clippers. Please. Nets. Somebody. I wish the Lakers, but Lakers ain't got no more cap. So somebody save him. I would love to see D Rose in Brooklyn. But the problem with Brooklyn is this. If they're going to score 130 a game, they can't be giving up 120. Defensively, they have to get better. If not, that's not going to fucking matter to me. But right now, they look real 2017 Warriorish offensively. And I think that's going to be scary for the Eastern Conference.
No, I agree, G. I mean, that first game, you know, I hate to see Spencer Dinwiddie go out because he's a good piece. But when you got Caris LeVert coming off the bench and, like, you know, now his scope, even though he was already just a scorer, he was not going to say just a scorer, but that was his primary option. But now coming off the bench, that is his role. Like, you are the scorer, and he's getting those second unit matchups where he's cooking motherfuckers. Like a lot of their second unit players could be you know, could start on other teams. And so with that offense, you said the 7 seconds or less. I've been, you know, the next game I've caught, they really do, G. They bring it up. They run it up in pace. G, I'm not sure where they rank in pace, but it's been fun to watch. Now, I think the defensive issues, they will clean some of that up. I think a part of that is having bro old ass out there. Who they homie?
DeAndre fucking Jordan.
Yeah.
This is why having good friends are important. Everybody with fucking eyes know that Jared Allen's supposed to be starting on that team. Steve Nash knows that Jared Allen's supposed to be starting on that team. But when your two main guys say, this is our guy, he's going to start. He's not even Lob City DJ anymore. Like, he's not even bringing you that.
Not
what
even
the fuck
close.
Is he bringing to the court? Nothing.
No, exactly, G. So, I mean, like I said, the defensive issues, I think they will clean that up. They're sixth in pace right now, so top 10 in pace. That's really, they really want to be. The Bulls are actually third in pace. We'll talk about the Bulls in a minute, but.
Only the Bulls.
Yeah.
Only the Bulls.
I think Brooklyn, they'll be all right right now. They're in the eighth spot.
I don't even look at standings right now.
Yeah, standings don't mean shit.
The playoffs start when the conference finals usually start. So we got so much time from now.
They just need to make sure they make it. Once they in there, they know they can do their thing to do whatever they need to do to get to the final.
Yeah. Let's get into early overreactions, which is going to eventually lead into the Steph Curry convo that I'm ready to have on this day. I'm going to defend the light-skinned delegation. But I'm trying to think. There's so many over. One thing, I feel like NBA Twitter is more thirsty than usual than this time. Like, somebody posted Jimmy Butler's stats from the first couple games. They're like, oh, well, why ain't nobody slandering him? One, it's been seven games. One, this nigga's out with an ankle injury. But most importantly, it's been seven fucking games. What do you
just
can't
left
draw
the
a line in the sand on anybody right now. It's like people are too thirsty for fucking narrative. So I just think in general, the main overreaction to me is Steph. Like, it's just like, what are we doing? Like, it's just, I feel like years of y'all being upset of niggas getting their ass kicked come out in full fledged right now. And it's just, I'm not saying it don't make no sense because I get it. But it's just like, relax. Relax, my nigga. Was there any other overreaction you had? Because this is Steph shit to me. It's the only thing that point came out to me.
I mean, the Steph shit is big. Toronto being 1-6, I think that's kind of an overreaction. Because, I mean, you know, that's still a really good team. Pascal Siakam just needs to, you know, get it together. You know, some people are saying maybe the tape is out on him and he hasn't adjusted. I wouldn't say that. I think he's too good of a player for that. But I think that's one of the overreactions. I think people really need to just dial it back on. This team is good right now, but I think the Knicks, I've been seeing so much, you know, anytime the Knicks are anywhere near 500, people are just in heaven. So, like you said, even though records are pointless right now, they 5-3. And so you've been hearing a lot of love for them. You know, they got Tibbs in there. He doing this thing as usual. Obi Toppin just looks solid. I think he was out a couple games ago. I think he got hurt, but Obi Toppin just looks solid. Julius Randle, I know he catches a lot of slander, but
he's been hooping.
Yeah, he's been hooping. You know, he's been doing this thing. And so, you know, the Knicks have been solid. Shout out to Al.
Oh yeah, that nigga texted me the other day. Was like,
I know he's in heaven right now.
That nigga's enjoying it. I'm like, all right, enjoy the ride while it lasts.
Yeah. So I mean, the Knicks, but no, the Steph. And I'm not even gonna say it's an overreaction, G, because I bet my homie the Warriors not gonna win 40 games, G.
I don't even think it's gonna take 40 games to win to get in the West. The bottom half of the West is not as good as people think it is. It really ain't.
The Warriors not winning 40 games, but no.
The Warriors will make the playoffs. I'm not gonna put a game number, a game total on it, win total, but they're gonna make the playoffs.
Yeah.
If Steph's healthy the whole year, they're gonna make the playoffs.
We'll see.
So let's just get into the Steph thing right now. So
me and
you had a debate about this. The overall thing right now is people, I'm not going to sit up here and act like Steph doesn't have responsibility to get his team into the playoffs. I feel like any superstar, and to me, Steph Curry is one of the very few superstars in the league. I think the word superstar is very much used too much. You know what I'm saying? I think there's maybe six in the superstar. Of course, we've had this conversation on this podcast many a times, what exactly a superstar is. But he's one of them. So I do think he has an obligation to get this Golden State Warrior team into the playoffs, no matter if they don't have Klay Thompson. Just as we can see, Draymond Green can be effective in the game, even if he's not scoring points. He knows how to help set up the offense and get Steph easier looks. My problem is this. Acting like he got to prove shit. He don't have to prove nothing to any of these niggas. He don't have to prove shit. Now, this is where the conversation gets where I like to call LeBron sexuals like to involve themselves into. And this is why. Everybody thinks that Steph has to carry a team like LeBron did. LeBron's probably the only player in the history of the game who can carry. LeBron is a system. That's one thing I'll give LeBron and his legacy. He's a system. He's probably the only player who's a system himself. You can, you know, putting the plug players around him, they'll make the playoffs. Now, where there's some people who are putting him on the same level as LeBron, I mean, and when he won his unanimous MVP, of course he was. And I still don't know how people act like unanimous is some type of disrespect. When we all know how people vote, it's because people like that name. Like, just keep it real.
No, go
that's
ahead.
What it's
go
about.
Ahead. I'm not your fan. I'm yeah, not
that's
your
what
fan.
It's about. So, it's like, oh, he has to do this. Do we forget what happened in 2013, 2014 when he led to the team to the playoffs before they won the championship? And even won a round, they had no business winning against the Denver Nuggets team that was better than them. Even pushed the Spurs to 7-1 year. And he was the clear best player on that team. 2014, 2015, they won the championship. He was the best team. He was the best player on that fucking team. I don't even know why we're having this discussion. Mm-hmm. That alone is why we should not be having this, oh, he needs to own anybody. And then they're like, oh, when the Dak is stacked. The Dak is stacked because they had KD. But when we talk about KD's legacy, what they always say? He has Steph. Which one is it? Is it Uchiwali or is it one Mike? And then I love Dame Lillard more than a lot of people. But let's keep it all the way funky. Y'all gassed that nigga as far as his accomplishments. What the fuck has Dame done? And we gonna sit up here and act like CJ McCollum ain't an all-star guard too? You act like he just be up there dragging scrubs. They were eighth seed last year. They weren't top three. They were eighth seed last year. He did all the dancing. Them niggas won one game. And then even when they played the Warriors the year before, them niggas got swept and KD didn't even play. KD didn't play. Steph was out there kicking their ass.
Dame was hurt, but keep going.
Dame was hurt. Okay.
I'm gonna let you finish.
Steph was hurt in 2016 when the Cavaliers won. Oh, you wanna do that? It's the same shit. Did Dame play?
You finish.
Did Dame play? I'm just saying, let's be real. I'm not done.
Go ahead. All right, go ahead.
Stephen Wardell Curry Jr. does not owe you niggas anything. Do I think they're gonna be in the playoffs? Yes. I don't think it's gonna be a high seed. I think it'll be a bottom 6-8. I'm not. Look at the Blazers. The Blazers ain't that damn good. Yeah, he getting beat by the Bulls. Yeah, he getting beat by other teams. They're not that good. You trust Sacramento? I don't trust them niggas. It's very sus at the bottom of the Western Conference.
Dallas and Denver will be back in the top eight. So it's gonna be shaky.
They'll be in the top eight. I'm not saying that
it's gonna be shaky for these niggas, but keep going.
They'll make the playoffs.
Keep going with the light skin love. I'm gonna let you finish, bro.
Technically, Dame is light skin too. If you want to be, he's in the light skin family. He's not pale like Steph is. He's in the light skin family. Okay, like me
the
and light Steph skin
community.
Yeah, me and Steph on a way lighter shade. But if you look at the shade board, Dame is still in our area, so I'm defending Dame too. And then on top of all that, niggas is rusty, man. We just brought that up early too. We brought it up, niggas was not in basketball shape. Y'all had to go talk shit. He had to break off 100 points in like two games on your ass and dropping 60 on Dame head. Okay, so let the man live, man. He's gonna make the playoffs. Y'all gotta stop hating on a two-time MVP, the only unanimous MVP in the history of this league, and a three-time NBA champion. He doesn't owe y'all shit.
Well, everything you just said is exactly why he owe us shit. Because now you lost one of your pieces, so we really need to see if you just got it. They heralded you to be. Like you said, you're a unanimous MVP. They put you on the same level as LeBron James. And as much as you hate it, as much as you like to say, oh, here come LeBron sexuals with the bullshit, the fact of the matter remains, in basketball today, whether you like it or not, that nigga is the bar. So you're going to be compared to him if you're in that top five conversation like people have put Steph Curry in, which I think he is in. But, you absolutely got something to prove, nigga. You have to make the playoffs. I don't care who hurt. Like, Klay hurt, but Draymond not hurt. You got Kelly Oubre, Andrew Wiggins, as much as we give him flack.
Okay, let's stop bringing up Andrew Wiggins in any type of conversation.
At the end of the year, he's going to average 19 to 20 points.
And it's going
to
be the most nothing-ass 19 points you ever seen in your life.
All right, but
he has Steph the Curry. Most. He's probably unimpactful.
You're Steph Curry. You the dude. They told me you changed the game. Like
he didn't.
You revolutionized.
He did.
It has a lot more to do with just
sit up in the headlock. The reason that niggas shoot as many as threes they do. The reason that Dame Logo Lillard, who's the first nigga to do that?
First of all, Dame has always shot deeper threes and Steph. You can look that stat up. That's a fact.
I don't hear about that. Who's the one who invented the shit?
Steph. It's been more so the entire style of play that just shifted. Steph is the best at it.
No, Steph started that. Give me one player who was playing like that before Steph. Just give me one.
What's buddy who changed his name that people always bring up?
Okay, that nigga wasn't playing like Steph. I know we like to bring up, I don't know the nigga name fully. I know we like to bring
Gilbert
him up.
Gilbert wasn't like pulling
Steph
from everywhere?
He wasn't pulling like Steph.
Gilbert wasn't pulling from everywhere. He had a mid-range game because that was a part of the game.
He was
back
not
then,
pulling like Steph. Steph changed the way basketball is played.
You are
the
wild.
Reason you can see Zach LaVine.
Coaches changed the way basketball is played.
No. Steph changed the way. It wasn't coaches. Steph.
But time out. You proving my point. You changed the way basketball is played, nigga. So I need you to grab this, you know, get your comrades together, and I need you to make a push for the playoffs. I understand Clay is hurt, but I don't want to downplay that because I think a lot of people have, and Clay is that important to that team. So you can't really downplay it. However, you are Steph Curry. I expect you to go to the playoffs, G. I expect you to do whatever it takes. You know what I'm saying? If you got to go out there and give me 35 a night,
that's fine criticism, though. I agree with that. I'm not disagreeing with that. I agree. He has to make the playoffs.
And y'all can't come to me talking crazy just because the man scored 60. Possible. It's Steph Curry.
Stop it.
I know
which way is it going to be?
Don't do that.
He does something good. We can't praise him for it?
No, because you got to think the criticism wasn't that Steph Curry was weak or that, like, he fell off.
He plays with a stat deck. That was the bullshit.
You can't be a front runner, Steph.
Steph's a front runner?
You can't be a front runner. It's a conversation that could be had.
Kevin Durant joined him. He didn't go join KD. There's anybody who's a front runner. It's that nigga.
You're not talking about KD.
Okay, but I'm just saying it's all in the Steph conversation because y'all not giving KD that. He had to come to Steph to get a championship.
You got to show me something, Steph.
I disagree with that, bro. I said the expectation should be yes, he should make the playoffs. I think every team that has a superstar player and it should make the playoffs, which is why I still think, you know, Anthony Davis superstar status well before he came. LeBron was a little shaky because he wasn't doing nothing. And then I'm just saying, I don't like the stack deck talk because we're acting like the deck was stacked before KD got there. It wasn't. Clay's good. Clay's a very good player.
Clay is probably the third greatest shooter of all time.
Huh?
Clay is better than good. He's probably
Who's the number one shooter?
He's the top five shooter of all time.
Who's number one?
The best two-way players in the league.
Who's number one?
Steph is.
Okay. He's number one.
Right. You're number one. So show me if you're number one.
If you're on the island of okay, he can't do what LeBron do, fine. I'm not gonna argue with you. I personally never said that. There's people out there who have said that he should be on the same level as LeBron. I have never said that in my entire time as a Steph Curry fan. All I'm saying is I think his legacy is cemented. He is going to fucking moonwalk to the fucking Hall of Fame. That's all I'm saying. Let's stop acting like Steph was brought into this super team. Nigga, he was the super team. He was the leader there.
They built it. They built it.
They
the
built
right
it
way.
Around him.
Yeah, I'm not saying that. We're not talking about that. What we're saying is, even with Klay Thompson out, you need to do a lot to lead this team to the playoffs.
For sure.
I don't want to hear people saying he playing with bums and blah, blah. Fuck all that. You still have a defensive player of the year on the floor. You still have one of the players with one of the highest basketball IQs of all time, even though, you know, that's pretty hard to quantify. But when you look at the players we've seen and the players in our generation, Draymond Green, like you said, his effect on the game goes way beyond scoring points. He does
everything else. I don't think it's a coincidence that Steph started playing better when Draymond got back in the lineup. I'm a Draymond guy. But also, like I said, when you walked off a minute, if you want to compare it to LeBron, if you're on the LeBron hill of, oh, he can't do it like LeBron, okay, fine. I'm not arguing with that. I've never said that. Have there been people who said that? 100%. There's a lot of people saying that in 2016, for sure. I'm just saying, in my opinion, yes, he does need to make the playoffs. I think that's bare minimum. I just don't think that he owes anybody anything. I don't think his legacy is at stake. You know, people say, oh, this might change the way we look at Steph Curry. No, it don't, in my personal opinion. And if you're going to bring somebody to compare him with, don't bring up Dame. Until Dame gets any type of hardware, keep him out of this conversation.
No.
You want to bring up Kyrie? That's fine. I'll take Kyrie. I ain't taking Dame.
No, a lot of people told you what they do. This is a lot like the Isaiah Thomas Mike shit. Nice. Where it's like, it's not, and like a lot of people think it's just jealousy. Like, neither, like, I don't feel like, I never feel like Isaiah Thomas is jealous of Michael Jordan as a basketball player. Because Isaiah Thomas is a two-time champion, Hall of Famer, accomplishments out the ass, beat Mike, beat Bird, beat Magic. You know what I'm saying? It's not about basketball. Like, you from Chicago, you know that it's about the fact that Mike came to his city, took over his city, and the love he gets from his city outshines the love he get. Now, do people from the Bay love Dame? Absolutely. Absolutely. But it ain't the same as the way they treat Steph, and they give Steph this baby golden child treatment. Like, when they fail, it's never like, oh, Steph this, Steph that. It's always other excuses. Like, prime example, you brought up the injury shit, but don't nobody mention that when they won their ring, I think every starting point guard got hurt or some shit like that.
Everybody brings that up all the time. But this is the thing. When you talk about champ, yes, they do. I've heard that all the time. Everybody talk about Mike Conley said it. Oh, Kyrie didn't play. We hear that all the time. That's one of the top things. When they want to act like, but we can do the same thing with LeBron. If you can break down every NBA championship in the history of the game, you really, really want to. If I really want to look at, okay, Steph had a fucked up MCL in 2016 and Draymond didn't get suspended.
But what you mean? What you mean same thing with LeBron, nigga? When?
I just told you.
Like when y'all say Ray Allen saved him. Like LeBron didn't go on like a 12-0 run. LeBron went on 12-0 run before
LeBron
that by himself.
LeBron missed that three, which would have gave the lead before. If that three.
Okay, right.
If Bosh missed that box three, out, that game is over.
But no, before he missed that three, you going to forget about the three he hit or the run he went on back then? Or
that's
then,
cool.
Or the
you missed the shot to win. It don't matter.
Bro, it don't matter.
You missed it. Really it don't matter. If I want to be there, I can say, okay, you beat the Heat and two of their three players out majority of the series. If I want to do that, I can do that. We can do that with any fucking series.
You talking about
Boston? Bam and Dragic missed majority of that damn series.
Did they not? And Dragic. They did. So you telling me they would have beat the Lakers?
I think it would have went seven.
It went six
without them.
Six is all it was gonna go.
Nah, I disagree. So we can do that with literally every other person.
LeBron never fought when it's fair thing. It's like a superstar player getting hurt, not silly shit.
Okay, I take Derrick Rose. Derrick Rose was hurt for like 3-4 years. They didn't have a healthy Bulls team to beat.
I love D Rose.
If we want to be real,
I think the year he got hurt, we probably could have beat the Heat. But
and I feel like if Kyrie didn't get hurt. No. The Warriors still would have won that damn.
No, fuck them. If Kyrie and Kevin Love,
they'd have won game one.
If Kyrie and Kevin Love do not get hurt, they do not lose the clip. The Cavs do not lose that series.
I disagree with you.
No.
If was a fifth, we'd all be drunk. If Michael Jordan wasn't a fucking gambler,
he'd
have eight championships now.
We can't do ifs in sports. We can do this all day.
You're proving my point. Let's just get down to the core of where the hate is when it comes to Steph Curry.
Don't say it's because he light skinned.
Number one, it's because he light skinned. Let's just be 100% real. Niggas hate when a light skinned privileged nigga is busting y'all niggas.
That's not true. I think
that's number one.
No. People hate the fact that they tried to put this underdog story on Steph. Like, he's not the son of another great shooter.
That don't mean that you're going to be good.
He ain't been shooting around in the gym like his whole goddamn life. Like, he don't deadlift like 400 pounds. He's still an athlete. Like, don't give me this underdog bullshit.
Look, I never said the underdog story is bullshit because even LeBron and niggas like that were coming to Davidson game. I'm not saying that. I'm saying it has a lot to do with that nigga being light-skinned and privileged. And also the fact that three of the rings that LeBron might have were off the table because of that nigga. That's what it is. That's where the majority of the hate comes from. Ain't got nothing to do with skill. Because if you got eyes, you shouldn't be talking about this nigga's skill.
Yeah, it's never about his skill. But because that's my thing. I'm not saying he has to prove to me that he's a great player. I know that. You need to prove that you can lead this team to the playoffs, G. You got to.
But he's done you that have before. To. That's what I'm saying. It's not like he hasn't done it.
I need you to see you do it now, after the dynasty. Y'all talk about the dynasty ain't over. Show me something.
So he don't get no credit for 2013
and 2014? Bro.
He don't get no credit for that?
Not really. No.
How you don't get no credit for that? No.
It's a part of his resume, but I mean, like I said, we talking about right now. After you've got all the praise and the accolades, what you gonna do? You still in your prime.
I disagree with that.
Lead this team. Okay. Score 35 a night.
I have a question for you. If LeBron was on this team, you take Steph or you put LeBron in, they making the playoffs?
Yes.
They making the playoffs. I'm not 100% sure of that. Yes. A lot of niggas don't like to remember his first year in LA. He was getting their ass whooped, and that's why he was on his "I'm getting hurt again" bullshit. The nigga was not low. That team was not making the damn playoffs. That nigga's not low. Is anybody who's cerebral is fucking LeBron.
You could put LeBron on any team and then make the playoffs.
Any team?
Any team in the NBA. Any team in the National Basketball Association.
Any team in the NBA.
Any team in the National
Basketball Association. So by playoffs, you saying just any seed or top seed?
Top five.
Top five. So top five. You put LeBron on the Bulls, they make a top five.
Yes.
Take LaVine off, you put LeBron on, they top five.
Yes.
I disagree.
LeBron makes that work.
LeBron making Wendell Carter box out?
LeBron makes it work.
Okay.
LeBron makes it work.
We're never going to agree with this.
First of all, you know, nigga, if LeBron and Wendell Carter are not going to be there, somebody getting traded. But at the end of the day.
Okay, I'm not talking about LeBron and him trade niggas. I'm talking about LeBron and the roster as is. We know LeBron's not going to willingly come play with Lauri Markkanen. But I'm just saying, in that particular situation.
I think you could drop LeBron on 90% of NBA rosters, and that man will still make the playoffs.
Okay, man. Look, this is not LeBron.
Players come play with LeBron, and they have their best seasons, G, for the most part.
He gets the most out of his home. I feel like LeBron actually takes some of these niggas' shine away.
But
this
I mean, no.
This if nigga made Kevin Love a fucking corner shooter.
Time out. That's different. When players accept a lesser role, then yeah, you're going to do that.
What choice do you have?
If you're a role player and you know your role, you can run with Bron. And we've seen he made Mo Williams an all-star. Mo Williams was ready to retire. That man was crying when LeBron left Cleveland.
So we're giving that credit to LeBron because Mont Williams was an all-star. We're giving that credit to him.
Actually, let me ask you this. Did Mo Williams make the all-star without LeBron?
No, he
didn't. Has he ever made an all-star team out without a team?
Okay, you're also like subconsciously feeding one of my theories that nigga had an all-star he's playing with in Cleveland. But whatever. That too.
First, he made him an all-star, so we're not going to do that.
LeBron ain't make nobody. And look, outside of his friends, nobody likes playing with this nigga. Nobody's ever said great things about playing with LeBron except for his friends. What I mean by his friends is niggas on the clutch payroll.
Niggas like Richard Jefferson.
Let's keep it funky. His
teammates talk about how cerebral. Rondo was just talking about what an experience
Rondo looked like he said a lot of bullshit, okay? Rondo said a lot of shit. This nigga once called LeBron a bitch before, and then he came on the nigga team.
Exactly. If Rondo can give LeBron his props, I don't see why y'all can't give LeBron his props.
Fuck LeBron. But if LeBron wants to bring me over to Undisputed or whatever the fuck name the nigga company is.
Ain't it Undefeated?
I don't know.
He's not undefeated.
I changed my tune. Yeah. I'll be up here like LeBron.
Unscripted.
Look, if I get my check signed, my Bron, you're going to see the biggest heel turn you ever seen in your life. I'm going to be like, Jordan, who?
I'll be slapping niggas over Bron.
I ain't got no damn shame. But move on. Let's move on, man. Let's talk about the Chicago Bulls, man. The Bulls right now, they're 3-5. Are we 4-5? We're 4-5 right now.
4-5
right now.
Fifth in the East.
Fifth in the East if the playoffs are ended today.
We'd be in the playoff game, though.
We'd be in the playoff game. What I've seen in these first 9 games, I think a lot of people got off the bandwagon the first 2 games, and I was like, first of all, relax, it's 2 games. Also, you got your ass whooped by 2 championship contenders. It's not like, you know, well, not 2 championship contenders because the Hawks whooped our ass, but it's like you need time. These young players need to get time, and the main thing I wanted from this season was I wanted the Bulls to at least be respectable, go out there and fight every night. I'm not expecting you to win every night. You know what I'm saying? I actually picked that they'll barely miss the playoffs. But if you can go out there and have that fight, if I can see player development, we haven't seen that since shit. Was Jimmy Butler was the last player the Bulls developed, and then they traded his ass.
Yeah,
and I don't even know if I'm gonna get. I don't even think I'm gonna get that credit to the Bulls. It's Jimmy being a fucking insane work nigga. Like, so I can't even get that credit to the Bulls. But the biggest thing this year is Arturis and Mark Eversley had to see who the fuck on this roster is good. We don't know. That's why I was like, hey, y'all want to keep trading people? Y'all be mad if you trade somebody, they go to another team, and they start killing. You got to see what the fuck you have. And I think so far this team's been playing hard every night. They've come back from big deficits. This is a huge win in Portland the other night. You know, historically are terrible on the West Coast road trip. Even in the years we're awful. Good. Even during the Jordan years, we were never good on the West Coast road trip.
The circus trip was always terrible.
Yeah, the circus trip, the A-by that used to be called, we were just always bad. And we were extremely bad in Portland. There's been bad memories in Portland, blown leads. We always remember Derek tearing his meniscus in 2013. And then so with a comeback, a 20-point deficit on the road. Granted, it's no crowd, but still a big game. Come back to that. They've been in games every fucking game this season, and that's really all I can ask from them. Coby White is a bucket. He is not a traditional point guard, and that's one of the things we need to get in the offseason. He's not a point guard. I understand you're trying to make him that. Kobe's the best when his main goal is just score. Like, he can score, he's great. So, Zach is great. My biggest complaint with Zach, we need to get the basketball IQ in the games. Got to be a little better. Some of them shots be bullshit. Now, he hit the same shot against Portland that he went for against Sacramento, but that one went in. He missed that shot against Sacramento, and then I think they went on like a 7-0 run. So, he's got to get smarter with that. I think the coaching has been great. I love Billy Donovan's rotations. I'm still not that impressed with Wendell Carter Jr. Daniel Gafford's looked great. He looked better than Wendell Carter. I want Denzel Valentine shipped off to the Taliban. I don't know why this nigga's on this team. He's got to get the fuck up out of here. Patrick Williams. I like Project Pat, as I'm going to call him. He's been looking good. So overall, as a Bulls fan, I think they're just back to being watchable, and that's the big part right now. And I have full faith in the Karnisovas and Eversley and Donovan trio to get this thing to where it needs to be.
No, I agree, bro. Like, a lot of my negative thoughts about the Bulls, I mean, especially after we got our ass beat that first game, they've really faded. And it's really a team that's going to fight. They're bound in the Donovan system. I really like that. And the Portland game, really, really, you know, I was really excited about that game. And I like that they're actually, I think they're like, now they're like 3-2 on the road or something like that. But they're number 2 in pace. They top 10 in points per game. You know what I'm saying? They're top 5 in 3-point attempts. They're top 3 in field goal attempts. Top 6 in field goals made. So, you know, the offense has been an improvement. They've been eighth. They're eighth in assists. And I like that because they're eighth in assists without a traditional point guard, like you said. We've seen a lot of different people facilitate. I think Kobe had 7 assists yesterday. Yeah. And, you know, so, I mean, seen a lot of good things. Billy Donovan, like you said. Remember, I was nervous. I thought P. Will was going to be more like Marvin Williams. But, he's actually been out there hooping, really doing this thing, showing you the versatility, showing you what they saw to, you know, take that reach and take him at 4. And so I really like that. And so, I mean, I think right now, I think they'll stick around that level where they end up in that playoff series, well, in them playing games. And shit, if they get in, they'll be a first-round exit, but it'll be a great experience for them in the first year under Billy Donovan. But I really like what I see from the Bulls. I mean, like I said, I take back a lot of my slander in regards to, you know, Kobe and P. Will, but especially Kobe, because I was one of the people saying trade him. You feel me? But I think Coby White is a person.
You were out on him already?
Yeah, I kind of. I mean, my whole thing with the Bulls is because we haven't had a superstar or really since D. Rose. Like, I was one of the people that thought they should have took a chance on Michael Porter Jr. Like, I feel like we need to start rolling the dice as more picking players like that. Because, I mean, I think Kobe is a bucket, but I think his ceiling is more of a Lou Will type. And, I mean, I think that's cool, but, like, did you want to take a Lou Will? What pick was Lou Will? Was Lou Will a lottery pick?
That's a good question. Let me do my Google.
But, yeah, picking him that high. But I like Kobe, and I think just like with Zach.
Nah, Lou Will was drafted in the second round.
Exactly. So, I think it's really just – who you put around them, that's going to be the key. And I think P. Will is a good start. I'm with you on Wendell Carter, bro. Like,
I don't see it.
The 3-point shooting attempts need to stop. I mean, defense, G. We talk about
it. Oh, the defense. Oh, that's what I want to talk about. Whoo, this team defense? Terrible. It's terrible. The paint defense?
27 points per game, G. Yeah.
Oh, my God. Who's the nigga on the King? I'm looking at the box score now. Who's fucking kicking our ass in the paint? Rashawn Holmes, 24-8-5. He was 10-11 from the field. It's inexcusable. You got fucking Marvin Bagley hitting threes. That has got to get better. Yeah, because especially on Friday when Anthony Davis. Right now.
Am I saying I know Zach? And I know Zach has been showing much more effort on defense. I appreciate that. He's actually had some good games, some good moments. P. Will, I see what they were saying about him on defense, because, like, there were a few times in that Portland game where he really had he had CJ McCollum on ice. And I really like that. And so, like I said, I like what I see from the Bulls. I mean, I know it's a long, long way back to where we want to be, you know, as championship. We want to be championship contenders, but I think
it's gonna take a while because the front office bullshitted too long.
Yeah, yeah. And we do have to get rid of a lot of the remnants of the guard packs era. A lot of these players gotta go.
And I thought it was sweet because Jim Boylan was hired by the Blazers as like their defensive guy or whatever. And for us to go out there and torch him like that, I think that was pretty fun to watch. So here's a question I got for you. If you were Arturis and Mark Eversley, you can only keep three players, not three, four players, a core four. You can only pick four players to keep for next season. Who would those four be?
Four players. I keep P. Will. I keep Zach. I keep Kobe.
That fourth one is difficult. I'm gonna give you. This might be a little hot take-ish right now. I'm keeping my man Gafford. I don't think he's a core guy, but you can find a guy off the bench.
No,
I like Gafford.
You can find another Gafford.
I'm not out on Laurie yet.
And he's played well so far and, you know, really accepted his role. And they've been playing him at the five, trying to see if he can actually get accustomed to that, because if he can't play at the five, I think it's going to be strange, because I think it's going to be a thing where Laurie's going to play well and they may have to trade him because they're not at the position where they can afford to pay him as much bread as he's going to command. Because it's like, we're not that far along in the rebuild yet. Cause like he gonna get one of those. What's bro from Brooklyn who just got the big deal?
Recently,
Bro who played for the Nets.
Oh, Joe Harris.
Like Joe Harris, Bertan. He gonna want like those type of deals.
Get those type of deals?
somebody's gonna cash Laurie out. I guarantee it.
Okay.
And the Bulls ain't gonna match it. So I feel like let him keep playing well. And like I said, I like him. I would keep him for my core four. But if you feel like he's not a part of your core, you got to flip him for something.
Yeah. So you max out Zach LaVine because he's a free agent.
Zach
got one more year. I'm tripping. Zach got one more year.
We got at least two, but boy.
Yeah, I'm tripping. Zach got one more year.
Yeah, no, I take the next 2 years with Zach and see where I can go, because I think I still like Zach is a bucket. See, he does have his times where he play go to hell ball, but like, his offensive production is hard to find.
Okay. I'm not mad at that.
What would you do?
I would pay him. I would pay Zach. I would pay Zach for the simple. I don't think Zach is a number one guy, but I think Zach can be a solid number two or number three on a championship team. I don't think it's going to cost that much money to keep Zach LaVine. And you're going to have to spend money because the free agency market is for the next couple of years ain't looking too, you know, luxurious. So, yeah, I would pay Zach. I think my only thing about Zach, I just want him to get better basketball IQ wise, and I want him to continue to play defense like he's been playing.
Yeah.
So that's what I would say about that.
Yeah, no, definitely. I agree with that.
So let's move on, man, to our next topic. We're gonna talk about top three surprise teams and top three underachieving teams. We're just gonna give quick answers for why we think that. I'm gonna go first with the surprise team first. I'm gonna go with the Sixers as my first surprise team, and not because I'm surprised they're playing well. We all know the Sixers are a perennial playoff team year in and year out. I'm surprised that these motherfuckers are 7-1, and they're probably gonna be 8-1 tonight because they're gonna beat the Nets because they don't have anybody playing. Joel Embiid has been out here playing his ass off. Doc Rivers, I feel like he's done a really good coaching job. It's mad fucking early, so you can't really make too many, you know, takes about it. But I think this is him and Ben have been playing pretty solid together so far. So I would give them number one. Magic 6-2. So I'm just giving them off that. I didn't expect them to start this hot. Do I think it's going to continue to move this way? Of course not. But I think Markel Fultz getting hurt, he tore his ACLs, is a big blow to them. And I feel bad for Markel personally because he is finally getting into a groove, finally going out there and playing good basketball, man. So
that was rough.
Prayers out to him, man. Hope he has a quick recovery. You know, good thing for the NBA is, you know, with modern medicine, ACL is not a death wish anymore. So I want to, you know, give a shout out to him. So that's my second team. Number three, man, I'm going to give it to the Knicks, the 5-3 Knicks. I know y'all throwing parades out there in New York right now. You know, shout out my guy Al Patron, you know what I'm saying? And I got a lot of other Knicks fans, homies. Y'all are loving it right now. Do I think this will last? Hell no. The Knicks will nick. They'll come back to back to relevancy. But I do think they have a shot to make the playoffs. I would change my tune on that. I didn't have them being anywhere near the playoffs before the season started. But I do think they can be competing for the playoffs if they can stay healthy. And the one person who can threaten their health is their coach themselves. I'm going to tell y'all Knicks fans right now what the Tom Thibodeau experience is. I had a conversation with some of my Knicks fan friends on Twitter, and they were like, oh, well, I wish they would give so-and-so more minutes. We're logging a lot of heavy minutes. That's what the fuck Tibbs does.
Have y'all been asleep the past fucking 10 years? Have y'all been asleep the last
decade? That's what he does. He wears niggas out. I blame him partially to blame for what happened to Derrick Rose. Luol Deng was on a goddamn deathbed, literally. Asked this nigga, can you give me 20 minutes?
Omar Sheik had a broke leg and they played the nigga. Like,
he knew. Remember the year that Joakim Noah won a defensive player of the year, was third in the MVP vote, and I think it was 2014. He knew that this nigga had a bone spur in his fucking knee and played the nigga anyway, and he got his ass whooped by Nene in the first round against the Wizards. This is who he is. Jimmy Butler. Why Jimmy Butler be banging up all the time? Because he was a Tibbs guy. This is who they are. So get ready for RJ to be playing minutes like he's Jamaican. That's just how it is. It's part of the system. And we signed that. The Knicks signed Taj Gibson. If you're a Tibbs guy, you're a Tibbs guy forever. So you got to live with the Tibbs and die with the Tibbs. The good thing about Tibbs, you've always been in the playoff race. I don't think he's missed the playoffs yet as a coach. So I think the Knicks have a very, very good chance to get in the playoffs. But that's just how Tibbs is. So that's my third surprising team. Who are your three surprising teams?
I agree with Philly. I think, you know, they're actually the number one defensive team in the league. So I think, you know what I'm saying, that's been dope to see. Embiid has really been locked in and playing like the best big in the league. So that Philly was one of my teams. Number two, it's not really a surprise because of what everything we expected, you know, the moves they made in the offseason, but it's still dope to see. The Phoenix Suns, you know, I picked them to be a middle of the pack team, maybe a 3 seed at high at the highest, but right now at 6-2, you know what I'm saying, they first in the Pacific, and I think they second in the league overall. But they played extremely well. You know what I'm saying? Chris Paul has had the same effect on this team that he had in OKC. You know, you've seen the improvement. You know, they're fifth on defense and ninth on offense. So, you know, I know a lot of playoff teams, a lot of the teams that I made it all the way to the finals recently have been, you know, top five in both in most cases, or at least top 10 in both. And so to see that from them, like you said, once again, it's early, but it's – it's been dope to see. And so that was another one of my surprise teams. And my last surprise team was the Indiana Pacers. I know I kind of wrote them off before the season started, but Oladipo's been healthy. I thought, you know, him wanting to leave in the offseason, then them possibly trading, you know, Miles, that would have had an effect on the team. But, you know, this is another team. They, you know, seventh in offensive rating, eighth in defensive rating. So, you know, they're doing it on both sides of the ball. Oladipo's really been hooping, you know, showing you he is that clutch player. That really, one of those, I think Oladipo is like one of those second tier guys with Jimmy Butler and those dudes. So, but I think he's really led that team. They've been playing really well. That was my third surprise.
Okay. So let's go with the underachieving teams, man. I'm going to go, we'll start off with the Mavericks, man. The Mavericks right now are sitting at 3-4. They're outside the playoffs. If the playoffs started today, they wouldn't be in it. Obviously, I think they'll be in it. But I just don't like how they've played so far. I don't feel like they've – of course, they're missing Kristaps Porzingis, but that's no excuse. I expect them to be playing more, way more better than that. Of course, Luka, I think, was both of our MVP picks, if I'm not mistaken. I need to see Luka play better. That whole team in general just needs to play better. I think it's more – it might be more of a slow start, and that's – I think that's another reason, too. I'm going to put Denver in there, too. It's one of my top three underachievements. You know, they just came off. They might be tired. You got to look at Denver was in the West Conference Finals. It's the first time they made it that far in a long time. They got a lot of young guys on them, so I guess their body's trying to get readjusted to the same thing also. So I'm going to give both of those teams a pass, but they are the teams that I've been, you know, really disappointed on right now. The Wizards. I've been disappointed in the Wizards, too. Not that I had, like, high hopes on the Wizards.
The Wizards, nigga. What? Okay,
this is why. The Wizards. I think the Wizards – they're not 2-6 bad. I don't have them as 2-6 bad. They're looking like they're 2-6 bad, but on paper, I thought this team could at least be, you know, with Russ, with a healthy Russ and Bradley Beal, they could be a 5 or 6 seed. That's where I thought they could be at. So for them to play, I thought they'd at least be playing 500 ball right now. So for them to be out here, I think Bradley Beal had 60 the other game. Them niggas lost by 10. You know, and yeah. Russ be out there looking like he point shaving.
Well, yeah, no, I still expected them to be trash. I didn't have too many high hopes for them. I know people still love Russ. I think Russ is still a good player, but I just it's still the Wizards at the end of the day. My three underachievers was Toronto, of course, 1-6. That's like I said earlier, that's a lot. You know what I'm saying? Pascal really hasn't been playing well. Van Fleet has been doing this thing. You know, Kyle Lowry. He always gonna do what he do. But the loss of Serge and Gasol has been, you know, showing a lot. Even though they're still a top 10 defensive rated team, but offensively, losing those two and the type of offense that they have, you know, now they 29th in offensive rating. So they really haven't been doing anything well, really, on the offensive side of the ball. So the Raptors are one of my teams. Another team, the Rockets. I know there's a lot of uncertainty with James Harden, but I feel like with him there, you know, like I said, he's a walking 40 piece. I mean, you know, Pav mentioned it on some of the sessions. Bro came out the club and dropped, you know, 43. You know what I'm saying? So that team has really underachieved with their record that they got, you know. So I'm not saying I expected much from them, because like I said, it was going to be difficult. It depended on if James Harden bought in, and right now he still wants out. But they've underachieved. I didn't expect them to be this bad. And last is the Portland Trail Blazers. The Blazers, you know, they're like 3-4. I expected them to be in that top three, top four race in the West. And right now they're still in that, like, that bottom half. I think right now they're the eighth seed. And so that'd be my third underachievement team. I think, like we said, as the season goes on, once these first 20 games get out the way and teams really start to get in the rhythm, we'll see more from them. But right now that'd be my third underachiever.
Okay. These are interesting lists. I think, you know, thing about the NBA, man, you just kind of like, you just got to wait. You just got to wait and see. See what happens in the long term, man. I just hope the games get better. I'm tired of watching blowouts. I'm tired of turning the games off in the second quarter. So let's get that better. We're going to wrap up this episode, man, with the Goofy Mog of the Week. Our first Goofy Mog of 2021, man. I am going to give it to the people who are ready to throw dirt on Stephen Curry's grave. Pick that dirt up. Pick it up. Bag it up. That's all I have to say about that, man. Let it go. Let it go. I know he took three rings from y'all supposed to go, but look, let it go. You'll be all right. Buckle up, champ.
No, my Goofy Mog of the Week is Miles Leonard. Every time people take a knee, we got to deal with this goofy motherfucker standing up and telling us why he's standing. Like, you clearly still haven't got it, even though you say you stand against racism and all that other shit. But kneeling has nothing to do with disrespecting the troops, you know. The person that told Captain Neil was a Green Beret, who said kneeling shows respect to the troops, because when they visit the troops' graves, they kneel. So that's where this came from. So you continuing to say that is just more proof of white people being tone deaf. And, you know, this leads to shit like what we saw at the Capitol. So that's my Goofy Mog of the Week.
All right, man. We're going to wrap this up, man. As usual, man, you can give us a follow, man. You can follow me on Twitter, Instagram, at BarberChairScott. You can follow Dante at OctoberZoneTay on Twitter, man. You can follow the Barber's Chair Network. We are in year 4, man. January 1st was our birthday, so I want to give a shout-out to all the supporters, man. We can't do this without y'all. So follow us at Barber's Chair Net on Twitter and Instagram. If you are a Patreon subscriber, we fuck with y'all, man. We got a lot of content coming for y'all, man. Cinema with the Guys. We're going to be season 2 of The Sopranos will be up on the Patreon next week. That is going to be Patreon exclusive. I know for season 1 we did, you know, we made it, we put the episodes up and then they were on the free feed like a couple days later. But we're the old series recaps are going to officially now just be Patreon exclusives. The ones that'll be on the free feed will be stuff that we're reviewing currently. So we'll be reviewing Tenet coming up soon. We'll be reviewing that new the new Marvel series. So look out for that. So follow, you know, subscribe, patreon.com/barbershop network. And yeah, man, Summer Sessions is back next week. So everybody stay safe, man. Enjoy the first round of the NFL playoffs this weekend. If you want to check out our 2-minute drill playoff preview, check that out right now, man. So we'll holler at y'all, man. We out.